forgiveness like a crown.
Mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. We find that at the foot of the cross, don't we? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. I'm looking over here, noticing this new Hammond organ. It's like, why did it take, well, you can't see it behind the chairs now, but that vacuum tube, beautiful chassis over there is replaced with this thing now. And I'm wondering where the preacher's going to stand here after a while. I sure do like having all the instruments, but praise the Lord and all the talent to play these things. And, you know, I was talking with someone yesterday, and we're not at all ungrateful, but there was a time when we had a flute and a guitar, and we made a joyful noise. Now well, we need to get that flute back up here. Amen. But I understand we've got a few more violinists in the congregation, and so, you know, I don't want to say I must be doing something right, because that would be a proud statement, but the Lord has given me the desire of my heart. I just love I love all the instruments. Don't get a complex now. But there's something about those violins and violas and cellos that just play on the strings of your heart. And amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, let's stand. We're going to read three portions of Scripture. I'm going to have you standing for a few minutes. I apologize, but you'll be sitting for a few more minutes. So, Matthew chapter 16. Now, just a quick update. We now have the distinction of having the highest growing rate of COVID-19 in the country right now. Arizona's got a spike, and it's continuing up. Part of it is, and only part of it, is the Native Americans are being hit really hard in our state. Apache County, Navajo County, Cochise County, even Yuma County, and a few others. But and I have my suspicions. I think, you know, they said the hot weather coming would be good, but the thing is, we go indoors in hot weather, and most of the transmission of this takes place indoors. So what that tells me is that we just need to continue to be vigorous and just continue to do what we know to do. We're not fearful, but once again, we don't want to be part of the mechanism that's spreading this around. So, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now he's actually giving the answer of what he's going to be throughout the ages. And in this account here, Jesus is talking about what he's going to do throughout the ages. Because he says, "Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, that's who he is, the Son of Man. But he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He will be Son of God throughout seven ages, until the last age, where he's revealing himself as Son of Man once again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." first mention of the word church in the New Testament from the mouth of our Lord himself. And he said, I'm going to build this church. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How many believes that power is still here tonight? Amen. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Again, from Revelation chapter 10, we'll just read the first two verses. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Recall in chapter 9, there was a mighty angel that was kicked out of heaven. In chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel. But this one descends by choice. Come down from heaven. Chapter 9 is Apollyon. Chapter 10 is Christ. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, representing a covenant. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. One more scripture, if you'll indulge me, from Exodus chapter 23 and the 20th verse. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Our title tonight is a question. Who will go with us? Who will go with us? Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful to be gathered together once again with those of like precious faith. And we know that the enemy's not too happy about it, but we don't care. Lord, we've gathered to worship you. We've gathered to feast upon your word. We've gathered, Lord, to be washed by the water of the word. We've gathered, Lord, to be encouraged. We've gathered, Lord, to make our requests known. We've gathered to sing songs and worship you, Lord, and to express our hearts to you and to give you the opportunity to express your heart to us. Now, Lord, I pray that each and every one would receive their portion tonight, Lord, that you'd move upon every heart. Lord, if there's any sick amongst us tonight, I pray, Lord, that your healing virtue would flow through the body, whether they're listening, whether they're here in service, or whether they're listening, Lord, on the hookup tonight. Father, we ask, Lord, that if there's whatever needs that there are, Father, that you would meet every need as your word goes forth. And Lord, we surely will give you the praise and honor and glory. Father, we've got many needs. The further we go, the more we recognize just how much we need you, Lord. And we know that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So, Lord, we just invite you once again to take full control, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory. Forgive us, Lord, of any sin, of any slowness, Lord, of anything that we need to make right. Forgive us tonight, Lord. And, Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I also was informed today that I have a couple other needs that I meant to make known. So Brother Eric Reek and his wife and two others have the COVID virus. And so we've been asked to pray for them. And then Jeff and Marie Snodgrass were visiting their church this weekend, and now they have it. And so we want to keep them in prayer. And there was a pastor, Roberto Orozco, if I've got that right, from Managua, Nicaragua, and he's passed away from COVID. And a brother, Eusebio, also from Central America, also has passed away from the COVID. So we just want to keep these families in prayer, churches in prayer. Amen. So we've been invited on a journey, and our destination, it's a land that's promised to the overcomers over seven ages. And the land's a good land. The land's a blessed land. And the place that we are going to has been prepared for us ahead of time. by the very same one that spoke the universe into existence. But how are we going to get to that place? Who is it that's going to go with us? There are many dangers, toils, and snares along the way. The enemy trying to keep us from reaching our goal. And he's given it his best shot. He's had 6,000 years to study human nature, to study our DNA, to study our habits, and he thinks he knows a thing or two about a thing or two, and of course we're no match for him intellectually or with our reasoning, but he's no match for the Word. Amen. So the question tonight is, how can we be sure that we are going to get to this place that's been prepared for us? Who's going to guide us? Who's going to lead us? We need somebody that will not lead us into temptation. Somebody who will protect us. Somebody who will feed us. Somebody who will provide us, give us healing when we need healing, encouragement when we need encouragement. Somebody who knows the way. Somebody who's passed this way before. Who is it that will go with us? In Matthew 16, we read a very familiar scripture. We read about a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples where he tells them that he himself, he's going to build a church and he's going to build it over 7 ages. And we know that many of the things that he spake to his disciples while he was in the flesh, they were not revealed to them until after Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and quickened them and then filled them. And then those things were brought to their remembrance and he taught them the things that they had heard. And Jesus let us know in Matthew chapter 16 that he's going to build a spiritual body, a bride body, a church, he calls it. And he's going to personally place each member in that body over 7 ages. And he's going to reveal himself to each and every one personally. And they would know him personally as he places them individually into the body. Not revealing to them who he was. Now that's a wonderful thing. We love history and we love to hear about who Jesus was. And not revealing to them who Jesus will be, but revealing to them who he is. Present tense. So the only way that you can know him is for him to make himself known to you. And that's his desire. He wants to do that much more than we want him to do that. And we want him to do it pretty bad, don't we? So he tells Peter, I'm going to build this church over 7 ages, and I'm going to place each living stone into that spiritual body by revealing myself to each one. And it is the revelation that I'm going to give them that will quicken them. It is the revelation. When I show them who I am, then I will show them who they are, and I will place them in that body. Now, there are several places that we could look at tonight that in the message where we are told that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. We'll just look at a couple here for a moment. The church is built upon the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and those that are baptized in the Holy Ghost will defeat the gates of their enemy. For the gates of hell will not prevail against them. It might not, or it's possible, but will not prevail against them. So in the message, I know, in Jeffersonville, Brother Branham says, those people who had seen him open the eyes of the blind, they'd seen him stand there and perceive the very thoughts that was in the people's hearts. How did he know? They said that them were coming after them. How did he know? Why didn't he know Judas would betray him? Why didn't he know the soldiers were coming up the mountains? And there were staves and swords and everything to get him if he could perceive their thoughts. So they're saying, why didn't he know that? See, the devil was working on them, putting them on an ash heap, for they wanted to give them a testimony of, I know, not I guess, or perhaps, but I know, I know. And remember, those trials are brought upon you the same way. Don't think it's strange, friends. You're supposed to have trials. Those trials will come on you the same way so that you will not say, well, maybe this is right, or maybe the scripture's true, or maybe divine healing's right. But when you get that experience and come off of that ash heap and you get the revelation of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, well, then you can scream, I know my Redeemer liveth. He's not just a Redeemer any longer, but he's your Redeemer. And you can scream out, I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't know if he's redeeming this one or that one, but I know he's my Redeemer. Because he lives in me. Friends, this isn't just special for some. It isn't just special for the ministry. It isn't just special for those that were acquainted with Brother Branham. Every son or daughter of God, every son and daughter of God that are born of God, born of the Spirit of God, they will have this testimony of, I know. Every single one. They don't set off on the journey and follow the leadership of a man. And they don't press ahead on a second-handed testimony, as nice as they are. No, each and every one has to meet the wagon train master themselves. They have to meet him personally, and he is their guide. Glory to God. And they will recognize his voice. And another, they will not follow. Whether that voice speaks through human flesh, whether that voice speaks through a tape, whether that voice speaks through the scriptures, they'll recognize that voice. Because the voice is revealed to each and every one by the one that's now living inside of us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Again, from Laodicean church age, he says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mightest see. He does not say that you have to buy this eye salve. Oh no, there's no price tag on the Holy Spirit. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Galatians 3:2. He says, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never have your eyes open to a true spiritual revelation of the Word. A man without the Spirit is blind to God and His truth. We must have the Holy Ghost. It's not optional material. We must know Him personally. So, you're taking somebody else's word for it when it isn't revealed to you personally. Now, perhaps we all start out that way. Somebody tells us about Jesus. And we say, well, how do you know? And I've heard this and I've heard that. And if they're spiritual, they'll say, well, come and see. Let him prove himself to you. Here's my testimony. Here's what he's doing in my life. Here's what I see. Here's the one that I'm walking with. This is my testimony of him. But why don't you come and see for yourself? See if these things are true or not. So when Peter declared, thou art the Christ, it was, I know that Jesus used the word revealed, but it was actually shown to Peter at that time, but not yet revealed, because he hadn't received the Holy Ghost. It was, in other words, it wasn't a revelation, and the proof of it was a few days later, he denied him. So that would come, that revelation would come when he was quickened right along with all of the others. Again, in Christ is a mystery. Brother Brown says, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God is trying to do? What is the new birth? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, not that you shook a hand or you done something different, or you said a creed, or that you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ the Bible. He is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, no matter what takes place, it's Christ. No matter the pastor, the priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church is built upon. And the church says, yes. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight, friends? So we read also from Revelation chapter 10, a few verses this evening, where a mighty angel descends from heaven. And we know that this is the covenant angel, specifically the angel of his own covenant that he made with his own church. It is the Christ that has been building his church, and is now, he's descending, and he's now getting ready to come for his church. He's the Lamb of Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5 that takes the book, opens it. He is the kinsman redeemer himself who opens the book, and this takes place in time. And we've learned that that book is a symbol. It's not literally a book, but the book of Revelations is a book of symbols. And the symbols represent something. So we learned that that it's a symbol. So it's not so much a printed collection of pages with words on it, but it is a symbol of a book with names that are written in it. And those names represent a people. Amen. So he's got a book in his hand with names in it of the people that he's coming for. It's the same book that Adam had in his hand one day that was taken away from him, that went back into the eternities. But then the Lamb is standing in time, and it comes back from the eternities into time, and the Lamb takes that book and breaks his seals. And in that book are the names of the redeemed. So this little book it's a symbol. The book itself is a symbol of the Lamb's wife, whom he's coming for. So her identity is found in this book. And so the book must be opened at the end time and must be given to her because she has an identity crisis. She has amnesia. This book must be given to her so that she can find out who she is. And it's the Christ of all the ages that comes and reveals himself to her. Says, I'm the Christ. Amen. And I tell you that you are my bride. So her identity is revealed to her by none other than Christ himself. Don't get nervous, friends. This is straight out of the Bible. It's straight out of the Message. He reveals himself to her as the theophanic Christ, Christ the living word, and he reveals it to her by revelation. Flesh and blood does not reveal it to you. Oh, you'll hear words, but God has to reveal it to you. Blessed be his wonderful name. So he reveals himself to her as the theophanic Christ. And then he tells her to take this open book that's in his hand, take it from his hand, so that he can show her who she is. And this is the scene of Revelation chapter 10. And this scene is not something that took place in the past. And it's not something that's going to take place in the future. But it's actually something that is taking place right now. Yeah. It is the present tense coming of the Lord to each one personally. Oh my. People get nervous with that. Oh no. Are you talking about? Friends, how are you going to unite with him if he doesn't come? You are uniting with Christ the Word. The marriage takes place here. The marriage supper is what we are going to. And we're not looking for so much of a coming as a going. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it is a present tense coming of the Lord to each one personally. And we recognize that tonight we are now in another Exodus. And this Exodus was foreshadowed by the one that took place in Moses' day. And the children of Israel in Moses' day, they were called to leave a physical land that was not their own land, where they were slaves and they were living in bondage. And they were called to leave this physical land and travel on a journey to another physical land that was promised to them. In the same way, we've been directed to leave the massive confusion of Satan's denominational death camps to journey to our inheritance, to a place that's been prepared for us. And there is a spiritual inheritance that we take first, and it is the fullness of the Word of God. It's the full Word being restored back to us here in the end time. That's our spiritual inheritance. But there's also a physical inheritance that awaits us when the last member of the body comes in, and then that will allow us to take a body change and to cross that Jordan together in a rapture in a change of a body. So our spiritual inheritance is the land of the open Word, and that Word is open to us in this hour, and that Word is Christ. Amen. But in between leaving Egypt and receiving our complete redemption, there lies a wilderness, and we must pass through that wilderness. So no doubt when Israel was told, it's time to go. You've been waiting for this and waiting for it, but now the time has finally arrived. It's time to go. Well, they probably thought, yay, we're going to leave Egypt today. And, you know, just in a few days, we're going to be in a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a land that was prophesied to our forefathers hundreds of years ago. We're going to be in that land just a few more days. Hallelujah. You know, we really probably don't need to pack very much because it's not going to take very long. They had no idea that it would be 40 years before they entered into that land, and that it would be the next generation mostly that entered in. In between Egypt and their inheritance was a wilderness of sin. You and I, we have left the denominational systems, the shuck that the wheat seed was formed in. We've left that. And we face opposition along the way as we pass through Satan's Eden, and we're on our way into our promised land. And it's been more than a generation since this journey began. And no doubt when the book came open, those that were on the earth at the time thought, well, just a few days and the Lord's coming. Amen. Now, friends, if we have to... So the question for us tonight is, who is it that will go with us? If we have to overcome in Satan's Eden in order to get the change of our body, then who is it that's going to go with us? Who knows the way? Is it Brother Branham? Some think it is. Somehow he's leading them from beyond the curtain of time. That would be a first, by the way. Is it the church system that's going to carry us over? Is it Brother so-and-so? Fill in the blank. I know who you're talking about. Who's so-and-so? Who's going to lead us? Who's going to show us the way? Who knows the way? So-and-so is whoever pops into your mind that's trying to be your Christ. This responsibility is a great responsibility. And it's so great that it is such a great responsibility that only the Lamb himself can take on this responsibility. Because after all, it's the Lamb's wife that's being led into that promised land. She's made herself ready for this journey. But what man would send his wife on a dangerous journey and tell her, you know what, I'll see you when you get there, sweetheart. Christ would not send his wife on a journey by night, by herself, in Satan's Eden. She is on a journey. And she's on a journey to her wedding supper. And she's on her journey to a place that's been prepared for her and her husband. What man would send his wife on a dangerous journey by herself? You wouldn't do that. And so you can be assured that Christ wouldn't either. He's going with her, as he said he would. And he's taking responsibility for her safety and for her care every step of the way. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Friends, it all ties together, and it ties together perfectly so that we'll be sure not to miss it. It's made so simple that we can see it in all the types and shadows, and then we can see it in the fulfillment. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Who's talking to you? Who is that angel that he's sending? It's the Lord himself. It's the Christ. The Christ of all the ages. It's always Christ. Moses, I will send mine angel before thee to keep you in the way. This angel will stand between you and danger. This angel will lead you. This angel will protect you. This angel will provide, encourage, comfort, heal. When you get snake bitten, you'll get healed. He'll deliver you. He'll protect you along the way to bring you to the place that I have prepared for you. Friends, we have the fullness of the word this evening. And we're on a journey. And that journey is leading us to step into theophany bodies that have been prepared for us. And it requires a change in order for us to move into them. Who's going to lead us? Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. There's a place that he's taken us to. We're going somewhere. We're on a journey. But the journey isn't the point. The journey is what we must go on to get to the point. The purpose is not to just journey. The purpose is to arrive somewhere. And wouldn't you know it, friends, that you and I just happen to be living in a day where people are asking for a leader. They're looking for a world leader. Who can we follow, they ask? Who can we trust? Who will bring change that we can believe in? Well, there's only one change that I can believe in, and that's the new body. People are looking today for a Messiah. Somebody to lead them. Somebody to lead them through all the turmoil and all the mess that this world is in today. And it just gets messier by the day. But each one that we look to, or that the world looks to, leads us into a greater mess. More debt. More empty promises. More hatred. Oh, I'm going to bring unity. Then why is there so much more hatred than there was before? And it's manufactured, by the way. There's an expectation for a Messiah. And the world is going to produce their version of the Messiah. So the question is, who truly knows the way of escape? Who knows the way out of this place and the way in? There's an entrance that's being ministered to us, as Peter tells us about. An entrance that's being ministered to us in this hour. But the entrance is an entrance into that other realm, and it's an exit from the corruption that's in the world through lust. Exodus 33, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So, friends, to put it in modern terms, if my name is in your book, you know me by name. Yes. If my name is in your book and I found grace in your sight, you told me, Lord, you told me to gather these people, gather them together for this journey, for this great exodus. But you didn't tell me who's going to go with us. Moses was a mighty prophet. And yet he knew that he could not humanly take these people over and take them through all of this. He had the greatest army on the earth at that time on his heels. He knew that it would take a supernatural being to take these people over. Friends, no matter how called of God he was, and he was, no matter how ordained, no matter how gifted, and he was, he knew that he himself could not take them over on human ability. It would require a supernatural presence. It would require a supernatural power to take them over into this land. And that's why there are so many that started out on the journey in this last day that are now sitting around, because they know that it's going to take a supernatural presence to lead them through, and they are missing that presence that's here tonight, that presence that descended already, amen, and has not ascended back, but that presence is with us to take us the rest of the way. Take us to a body change. Take us to meet him in the air. It'll require a supernatural power. So Moses asked the question that the whole church world ought to be asking tonight, especially us. Who is it that's going to go with us? Who is it? God, you've told us that we found grace in your sight. You told us that. You know each of us by name. But tell us, Lord, who is it that's going to go with us? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a message, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. His way is his word. You want to know his way? You want to know his will? It's his word. Amen. And the word himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No one can know the Father but by me. And I will reveal him to each one. Spirit God. So he's saying, show me thy way. Translation, reveal yourself to me by thy word, so that I may know thee. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of my ways. Walk with me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. And you shall find rest for your souls. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He's not talking about in the land. He's talking about rest along the way. Don't worry about it, Moses. I got this. Just rest in knowing that I'm going to do this myself. I'm not sending somebody else. The Lord himself descended with a shout. Moses, you've been stressing. You've been wondering. You've been worrying. You've been looking at the opposition. No doubt you've had your calculator out. Let's see, 2 million, and I need this much evaporated milk. And you wondered, how can I get them to overcome in Satan's Eden and get them into the fullness of the Word? That's the mission for our day. That's what that foreshadowed in Moses' day. And the answer was simple. Well, Moses, you can't, son. But I'm so glad you asked. Here's how it's going to work. Let me lay it out for you. I will give you rest from your labors. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm coming myself, Moses. I'm not sending Gabriel or Wormwood, as great as those angels are. I'm coming myself. I'm the angel of my own covenant. I'm sending you my presence. Glory to God. Friends, you and I are on we're on a journey tonight, and we're passing right through the middle of Satan's Eden. And that's what stands between you and I and a body change, is Satan's Eden. Things are getting worse and worse. Darker and darker. Hell is spilling out into this dimension, as we read about it in Revelation chapter 9. Every kind of evil spirit has been loosed. 200,000 devils that were bound by religious devils that were bound by the river Euphrates. 200,000 demons. The first thing they did, Brother Bram says, is they drove natural Israel back into her promised land. Now that that's accomplished, they've turned on spiritual Israel. And they're driving us into our promised land. But our promised land is the land of the fullness of the Word. And they will ultimately drive us into our body change. Every kind of evil spirit has been loosed. Just when you thought you've seen it all. Don't say that. So how are you going to overcome the situations that you face in your lives? How are you going to do it? By having a rule book? We don't even know what all the rules are. He said, don't worry about it. I'll write it on your heart. How are we going to overcome situations that we face in our lives? Well, modern events are being made clear by prophecy. Prophecy that's being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Hatred and the resulting crime. Crime is a result of hatred. If you loved your brother, you wouldn't rob him. You wouldn't murder him. Hatred and crime are on every hand. We are seeing Satan's thoughts as they're manifest before us. How can you make it on your own? Which church are you going to put your confidence in? Which minister is going to lead you over? Now, don't get me wrong. We need a fivefold ministry. But there's only one leader. There can only be one leader. And we have to agree on that tonight. Who is that leader? Who is that one? How can you make it on your own? You can't. You won't. Well, I'm just going to listen to tapes. Well, you'll be left behind. You're not going anywhere. Because the guy on the tape will tell you to go to church. Of course, you won't play that tape. Got a bunch of tapeworms. We need more than mechanics in this hour, friends. It's not enough to just have the message. I'm so thankful that we have it. But it's not enough. And it's not enough for you to know who the messenger was. We must have the person of the message. We must have the Christ of all the ages. We must have the bridegroom himself. As the song goes, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow.
Follow who?
Him.
My presence shall go with me. Shall go with you. You mean to tell me tonight, friends, that the presence of God went with natural Israel under the blood of bulls and goats? Wasn't even the bride, but his presence went with him. But he's putting you on the honor system here. He's telling you, here's what I expect you to get. Now, be a good boy, be a good girl, obey all the rules, and I'll see you when you get to the other side. That's ludicrous. Yeah. This is many, many times more difficult and more treacherous in this hour than it was in that Exodus. We must have the person of the Word. So he said, my presence shall go with you. How are you going to overcome the corruption and the lust that's in this world? How are you? Peter said, by being a partaker of the divine nature. That's Christ. How are you going to, brothers, how are you going to withstand, sisters, how are you going to withstand the attacks on your marriage? Now put your halo down for a moment. Don't you dare lie to me tonight and say my marriage has never been attacked. If your marriage has never been attacked, you're not a Christian. Because he's going to come at you every... I didn't say you failed. I didn't say you were overcome. I said attacked. How are you going to withstand that? How are you going to counter Satan's attacks on your children? How are you sisters going to overcome that domineering female spirit of this age? That independent spirit. How are you young brothers going to overcome the onslaught of sexual demons that are on every corner? You and I have been birthed into the most wicked, the most deceiving, religious, insane time that has ever hit the church ages. Our own nation is now saying, you know what the solution is? Get rid of the cops. They already wanted to take our guns. Now they want to get rid of the cops. How dumb can you be? It's those with guns that are going to save them. It's insane. This world is evil. It's not getting better. What's your plan? How are you going to overcome? I want to know. Tell me. How are you going to do it? Think about this tonight, friends. We love to look back at that first Exodus and say, what's the matter with them numbskulls? They had the pillar of fire amongst them. The Lord himself was in their camp. And then they went and did this and that. And Moses went up on the mountain. And meanwhile, they're... you know, got carried away, did this, did that, had the ministry make golden calves, you know, certain doctrines and teachings. And boy, if I'd had that opportunity, Brother Verlin, if I'd have been there, it would have been different. I'd have been on my best behavior. I would have been focused, Sister Susan. I would have never lost my focus. I mean, after all, Brother Malachi, how could you with the presence of the king in the camp? How could you do that? I ask you tonight. The very same one is here tonight. And we're on the very same journey. And I ask you tonight, how can you allow business to keep you from church? How can you allow pity to keep you from church? How can you allow false teaching to keep you from following the pillar of fire? You have the greatest opportunity afforded to mankind. That the very angel of his own covenant, the very pillar of fire, the very Christ himself is here. And he's leading us on a journey to a body change. You're not going to do this by yourself. You're not going to go through this alone either. He said, my presence shall go with you. John tells us a mighty angel has descended, just as Paul said that he would. Not a weak one, the greatest one. My presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee. My presence. He told us that before he left. I will be with you. Even in you. I will comfort you. I will guide you. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I'm your savior. I'm your all in all. Put your trust in me. Yoke yourself to me. You're not going to carry any of it. You're going to think you're carrying something. I'm going to carry all the burden. You're just going to feel the yoke on you to remind you that you've got to stick with me. And when you try to go your own way, you're going to feel that yoke. And thank God. That's that conviction that comes because you have the Holy Ghost. It's not condemnation, it's conviction. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But we need that conviction. Now that wasn't right. Go make that right. The greatest one is leading us himself. My presence. Friends, how can we overemphasize this? People say, oh, you overemphasize the new birth. How can you overemphasize? If Christ isn't leading you, you're lost. My presence shall go with you. He's my shepherd. He's my God. I shall not want. He gives me peace. He gives me rest. He prepared a place for me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Though an host, a hellish host, shall encamp about me, I shall not fear. Amen. He's prepared a table before me. He's prepared a feast. There's hidden manna. There's word that Satan knows nothing about. He's never saw this coming. He has no idea the punch that's coming his way. Friends, you're feasting tonight. There's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word, but there's no lack of word. The ear has been stopped up by those that have rejected the word and have chosen to continue to go on in bondage. But you heard the jubilee. And you heard that you could go free. You came out of her, my people. Hallelujah. And you are now feasting on the full body word of the Son of Man. While he defeats your enemy on every side. Verse 15. He said unto him, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go. How many can say that tonight? Lord, if you're not leading us, I'm done. I don't want religion. I want you. I don't know how to get there. I don't know anybody that knows how to get there. But you do. And I'm trusting in you. You won't mislead me. You won't deceive me. You won't lead me in deception. You will guide me. And you will comfort me. And you will prove to me that I found grace in your sight. Because you know my name. If you're not going with us, I don't want to go either. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Friends, his presence with you, it shows you that you have found favor. Oh, we take it for granted. I guess it's because we're creatures of contrast, right? We don't know what it's like to not have the fullness of the word. Now, I do because I spent the first 28 years of my life without the fullness of the Word, hungering and thirsting, searching. I didn't cut my teeth on a message pew. I knew what I was missing. Well, actually, I didn't know all that I was missing. I just knew that I was missing. I knew that nobody could point me to the Christ of all the ages, to the true Jesus of the Bible. Nice people, sweet people, precious people, lovely people. But nobody could point me to him. But his presence is with me. Now, don't let that disturb you tonight. I don't know why it would, but some people get disturbed when they hear me say his presence with me. Why would that disturb you? Would you prefer to have a pastor that his presence wasn't with him? Or is it because you're nervous about saying that his presence is with you? If his presence is with you, and his presence is with me, and I tell you his presence is with me, you'll high-five me. You'll say, amen. Me too, brother. That's why I'm here. We're both following him. This is not lifting either one of us up. It's lifting him up. It's rubber hits the road. You are not going through this exodus alone. And you are not fighting this battle yourself. The Lord is mighty in battle. So there's a mighty one that's with you tonight. And he's greater than Satan. And he's greater than all of his angels combined. Friends, there's... We know that Brother Branham had an angel that spoke to him throughout his life, right? That angel wasn't Christ. If that angel was Christ, then where are we at tonight? Even in the tent vision, he said, I saw the pillar of fire go over that little room. And the angel told me, go in there. I'll meet you. That'll be the third pull, right? Well, how could the angel tell him if the angel was over that little room? The pillar of fire is Christ. A different angel came to him each night when the book was coming open. The seventh one meant more to him than the rest. There's a mighty one in the camp tonight, friends. He's greater than Satan, all of his angels combined. He's greater than the power of death, hell, the grave. He's the great and mighty conqueror. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Isn't that how we know your presence is with us? So shall we be separated, and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. It's his presence alone, friends, that makes us different from everyone else. It's not doctrine. It's not idea. It's his presence. Now, you will have doctrine if his presence is with you. But you can have doctrine and not have his presence. Notice, he is separated from the world. So if he's separated from the world, then so are you. You are called out. You are chosen. You're on a journey tonight. Keep your focus. Don't lose sight of this. You're not alone. He's leading. He's guiding. He's overcoming. The overcoming word, overcoming through you. Now, friends, if we were to lose his presence, what would be the worst thing to happen to us in this life? If we were to lose his presence, we've lost everything. When the presence of the Lord departs from a church, the church has lost everything. And what happens? The church gets critical, dry, formal. The leaves of fellowship turn into thorns. You hug a brother, you'll know it. Try to live off of stored up experiences like a cactus instead of the living waters that your roots are supposed to be drawing water from. When the presence of the Lord departs from a church, the church has lost everything. When your home loses the presence of God, you've lost everything. Laodicea has put him out. And I tell you tonight, they've lost everything. And they don't know it yet. They say they have need of nothing. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. He knows my name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the capital L-O-R-D before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Yet by the blood tonight, friends, by the new birth, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can behold his face this hour, and yet we live. You are able to do something that Moses couldn't do under the blood of bulls and goats. No man could look upon him and live. And yet, the mighty God is unveiled before you. We no longer see shadows. That's what Moses saw, the shadows. He saw the backside of a man. We no longer see shadows and types of him. We see him in all of his glory. The fullness of the word. We see Revelation 10:1. The mighty one unveiled before us. I mean, just listen to the titles. The titles of the messages are messages. The mighty God unveiled before us. The presence of God unrecognized. Who is this? Melchizedek. Actually, wasn't a question, it was a statement. Who is this? Melchizedek. We see his face, friends. We see details. We see his eyes, his mouth, his hair. There was a cloud that showed the image of his face, showing what was taking place in this age. Moses saw him only in types and shadows. But in this hour, the Christ of all the ages is unveiled before us so that we can behold him with our own eyes. Friends, what takes place at a wedding? You exchange vows, and then the veil is lifted off of the eyes of the bride, and she sees her bridegroom face to face, and they unite together. The uniting is taking place now. There's a uniting time and sign. There's a wedding that's taking place now. Some are already united. Some are in the process of uniting. We're not going to a wedding. We're going to a wedding supper. Verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Friends, this is Psalm 27 fulfilled in our day. When David prophesied, recall, there were so many things that David prophesied He said, my hands and my feet, they stare at me. My bones, they stare at me. That wasn't David. David was prophesying what would take place in the bridegroom. But David also prophesied what would take place in a bride. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. That's us. This is his temple. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You're dwelling in it. He's in that day you shall know. That I'm in the Father, I'm in you, and you are in me. That's this day. When my enemies encamp about me, I shall not fear. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when the host is encamped about me, I will not fear. He will hide me in the secret. The secret is being made known. But it's not a public show. It's not a public unveiling. It's being made known to you. He's hiding you in the secret. And you're a part of the secret. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. There was a time when Eve was hidden in Adam. She was with them. She was in him. She was part of him. But she was a mystery, unknown. But one day she was taken out of Adam and brought back to Adam. And now she is the mystery of Adam revealed. Because she was once hidden in him and now she's revealed. Christ was in, or the bride was in the side of Christ. And she came out of his side. Amen. And he quickened her to life, breathed into her the breath of life, brought her to him. And now she is the mystery of Christ revealed. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Psalm 27, he shall place me upon a rock. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. Friends, we could preach on this tonight. We could go all through the scriptures and show you that he's always had a place for you to stand. Amen. Prepared for you. Amen. To stand. Yes. In every age. He has a prepared place for you to stand. Now, if you're standing with him, he has to be here. Well, where is he? In heavenly places. Well, I thought you said he was here. He is. Well, I thought you said we were with him. You are. But I'm here. No, the you I'm talking about is in heavenly places. Right here. It's you and him. In heavenly places. If you're in him, and he's in heavenly places, you're hidden in him. You're standing by his side. And he's here. It's the same place that David prophesied of in Psalm 27. He's placed you on that rock. And a rock is revelation. The revealing of Jesus Christ to you personally. Verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So Moses couldn't look upon his face and live. So the Lord was gracious. He said, I'll let you see my glory, but I'm going to put my hand over your face as I pass by. You'll see the back parts of a man. You'll see a theophany that looks like a man. But I'm going to put my hand over your face because you can't look upon me and live. But today he removed the hand. Verse 23. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. Just want to remind you, you did this. You broke them. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Zion, unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. Friends, the law is the back parts. And because they're but shadows of who he is. You're not seeing him in his fullness in the law. Once again, as we've been through this, the law shows you. So the whole thing is, we lost the life, right? The life that was in the garden. And there were cherubims with flaming swords that were placed there to keep us from that life, right? But then the life came back, wrapped itself in a blood cell, came so humbly and so small that Satan never saw it coming. He was looking for it, but he didn't see it coming. That life came back. That life is here. The law was showing you how that life, what that life would look like, right? When that life is lived out here on the earth. That life will not commit murder. That life will not commit adultery. That life will not will honor its father and mother. Will not covet its neighbor's wife. On and on and on, right? And so much more. When that life came, that life said, I fulfilled all the law.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But you can keep all the law and not have the life. So then the life would be a shadow. The law would be a shadow of that life. The law isn't the life. It's a description of it. Right? Good master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? Well, keep all the law. Well, I have since my youth. He knew he was missing something. So the law is not the life. He knew he still needed that life. So the law is the back parts, which are but shadows of who he is. Exodus 34:3. No man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So in proclaiming his name, he's proclaiming his word. Ask anything in my name or according to my word, and I'll do it. This is the confidence that we have in him tonight, friends. Verse 6, we'll close. Stand, please. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance, and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the God we serve tonight. That's the very same one that's with us. Aren't you glad tonight, friends? I'm going to send my angel. Who exactly is this angel of the Lord? We'll pick up on it next time. We've laid a little bit of groundwork here, but we're going to tie this so tight in the scriptures, you just have to want to disbelieve. Who will go with us? Musicians, if you would come, please. Who will go with us? Who is it that's with us tonight, friends? Are we doing this on our own? Is it because we're Love Divine Fellowship that we're going in the rapture? Is it because I'm your pastor? Is it because we believe God sent a prophet? Is it because we have the full message? Who is it that's with us? The whole world's looking for the Messiah. Who is it that's with us? Who will go with us? Show me thy ways. Show me thy way that I may walk with you. Show me thy way. I put my hope in you. The cry of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Yes, amen. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show my hope in